Good afternoon to the best family, friends, and neighbors. So glad, so happy that God has allowed us to get together in our podcast gathering this first Sunday of May. God has been good to us, been blessed, and certainly, amen, we're looking forward to sharing with you today from the Word of God and just seeing your names appear up on the screen. And before we get started, just a couple of things. Today we are having the Lord's Supper at the end of the discussion. And so be ready for that with your crackers and grape juice or the closest thing that you have to that. And also, I want to thank you for your financial support of the ministry. Even though we haven't been an actual inside our actual building in I think about 5 or 6 weeks now, that you still support the ministry just as you did when we were gathering physically. So we appreciate that and allowing us to still be affected and have meat in the house for those that are in need. So thank you so much. At this time, we're going to let Cheryl is going to come and pray for us, and then we'll be back to get into our discussion for today. Thank you so much for coming in to be with us.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's get our minds prepared for prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we come this morning and we are quiet in your presence. We steel ourselves from all the noise, from all the things that are going on in our hearts and our minds. God, we focus in on you right now, and we praise you for being our sustainer. We praise you for being our keeper. This week, God, from April, first Sunday in April until now, God, you have kept this family. And God, we're thankful. You have kept us together. You have kept us from hurt, harm, and danger. And we praise you that you have been our provider and you have been our protector. And we just pause to praise you and thank you for that. We worship you this morning because you alone are worthy to be worshiped. Even on this week, God, as we experienced a loss in our family, we thank you that, God, we saw your hand of grace. We saw your blessings toward us, and we praise you for that. We thank you. Now, God, we live in a world that all this week that we've heard the word uncertainty all week. People are saying that there's so much uncertainty in the land and in the world. But, God, as I reflected this morning, God, you reminded me that there's some things we can be certain about. Oh, God, we can be certain that you love us. We thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. We are certain, God, that you are real. We're certain, Father God, that on the third day that you rose with all power in your hand. God, in the midst of uncertainty, we can be certain about the fact that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. We're certain, oh God, that you are high and you are lifted up and that you are the author and finisher of our faith. God, we are certain, God, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Even every tongue that rises up against us will be condemned. We're certain about the fact that you are for us. And God, we're certain about the fact that all things work together for our good. God, to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. God, we're certain about the fact that you're in control. We're certain that you're our Father and that you're our Savior. And that nothing goes on in this world without you knowing about it. God, we're certain that you're our Savior. And we're certain that you're our Lord. In the midst of uncertainty, God, we even understand this morning that your word, Father God, will not even pass. But not a jot or tittle of your word, Father God, would fail us even in the middle of uncertainty. Because your word is true. And your word is what sustained us. So we're thankful that there's some things in the middle of uncertainty that we can be certain about. We're certain, God, that you're the one who holds us. We're certain that you know our name. So we're thankful for that on today. God, we pray that as we lean into your time of, to a time of worshiping in your word, God, that we would lean in and our hearts would be prepared and ready. that the seed of your word, Father God, would penetrate us today and speak life to us during this time of worship. We thank you, Father God, that even in the United States, where so many places where they're not allowed to worship, we thank you, God, that we can worship you anytime, any place, and anywhere, that you've made provision for us. And so we thank you for that. Bless our time together. Bless your word today in a great way. Speak life to your children. We pray, Father God, through your word that we're strengthened. Through your word, we are challenged. And through your word today, God, that we are changed. We thank you and we praise you. Thank you, God, for just the blood of Jesus that covers and protects us. As we take a time today to reflect on that, thank you that your blood still works. Thank you, Father, that your blood still works. Your blood still saves. Your blood still changes. Your blood still protects. And we praise you for that on today. Now bless our time together. God, and those who may come to this podcast, who may God never enter a church, who may not know you as Savior and Lord, we pray, God, that this word would reach their hearts on today and that you would move by your spirit. And we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, because it all belongs to you. It's in Jesus' name, God, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Thank you, Cheryl, for that. Amen. Let's get into our discussion, expository lesson for the day. We want to do our exposition first, and then we'll do the Lord's Supper. And after that, we'll see. I have a couple of questions, I think, from Steve, who is calling us from England. So we'll see if we can get to that later on. Steve, thank you for chiming in. All right, let's get into the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4, we want to look at verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, reading from the New King James Version of Scripture. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Oh, I missed one verse there. Let me go back to verse 5. I'm sorry. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's get into this and see what God has to say through us. I'm going to do my best to bring out what God is saying. I'm going to use some examples. Matter of fact, I want to start with looking at a couple of examples. They may not be perfect examples. They are faulty examples. But I think just like in parables, parables usually make one point, and sometimes when we try to make them make more than one point, you kind of mess them up. So I wanted to start with a couple of examples and that'll kind of help you get an understanding of where we're going this morning. This morning we've entitled this expository discussion session, Worshiping to Exhale. Worshiping to Exhale. Let me share a couple of the stories or the examples that I to kind of help you get your mind, maybe ideas in line with what I'm trying to say. In 1995, for all of you that are old enough to remember that, in 1995, there was a motion picture that debuted called Waiting to Exhale. And in this particular movie depicted the lives of four African-American women and their relationships with the men in their lives. The title of the movie was based upon the premise that these women figuratively were holding their breath in the anticipation that each of the men that they were in relationships with might be the one who would be the key to their happiness. And upon finding Mr. Right, they could finally exhale. Now, for our men, maybe this example will be better for you. Men also wait to exhale. The equivalency might be when we try to live vicariously through sports teams that may not have won a championship title in years, but after every draft, throughout every season, each time they reach the red zone, each play of the game, we hold our breath in hopes of this being the championship season. This happens season after season. In both of these examples, there is an anticipation of something which will change your life and will bring a sense of well-being. Well, I stop by to say the only thing that's going to really give us this sense of well-being is a relationship with Christ our Lord. Listen to what the Word of God says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5 and 1. Romans 5 and 1 saying that peace, that sense of total well-being, that sense of things finally being right, can only be found through putting faith in Christ our Lord and following him, following our Savior. It's what demonstrated in that story that's often told, and we've, if you remember the Beth, we've kind of looked at from time to time again, of that woman that was at the well who had five relationships that failed, and she was still waiting to exhale. But then along one day came Jesus, and Jesus met her on the well, and through his questioning and them relating to one another, she found out that who Christ really was, the Messiah, and that really was the thing that changed her life. And I'm trying to tell you today, that's who you really need to know. There's good news. And the good news is that Christ loves us so much. He gave his life on the cross for us. The Bible said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what a great God we serve. You can have that everlasting life. You can find in Christ, male or female, you can find in Christ that one that you've been looking for, that thing. The world will offer you other places to find that peace or that satisfaction on the skin, maybe in pleasure, maybe in power, maybe in possessions, maybe in popularity. But all these gods can never satisfy. Only Christ can satisfy. And I want to tell you, so if you don't have a relationship with Christ, I invite you today, amen, to come to him by faith. Put your faith in him and his finished work on Calvary's cross, and then establish their relationship with him. Now, after one has established a relationship with Christ, if we look in our text today written by the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Philippians, we find that Paul is now moving us from waiting to exhale to when we find Christ and put our trust in him and he becomes the object of our worship. Now, we don't wait to exhale. Now we worship to exhale. I hope you caught that. We done moved from waiting to exhale to worshiping to exhale. I want to look quickly at three ways in which we worship to exhale. First, I want to talk about we worship to exhale by rejoicing in praise. By rejoicing in praise. Secondly, we worship to exhale by requesting in prayer. By requesting in prayer. And third, we worship to exhale by resting in his peace. By resting in his peace. I was going to say rest in peace, but I didn't want y'all to think you had to die to have peace. By resting in his peace. Let's read verse 4 of chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Oh, wow. That's a powerful statement, and we're going to really look into it now. I want to set the context for you. In this book of Philippians, when Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, don't think that Paul was living in comfort and enjoying a comfortable place, because when he wrote the letter of Philippians, this epistle, that he was in prison. He was in prison, shackled to a Roman guard. Amen. Maybe even in a dark place, in a dungeon down there, or maybe on the house arrest, but he didn't have the freedom. And even in the first, I think back in verse 3, not only was he in prison and not knowing that he was going to have another day, because they could have took his life any day. But then two of the main principal characters that were in the church were having at odds with one another. So that also was one of his concerns. But then even in the midst of being in the prison and what in the conflict was that was going on in the body, Paul still states, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, he does not say rejoice in the Lord sometime, or rejoice in the Lord when things are going well. Rejoice in the Lord when you have everything you want. But he said rejoice in the Lord always. And that's a command. That's not something he's asking us to do. God is telling us to rejoice in the Lord. Oh, that's a command to rejoice in the Lord. Now, let me see if I can kind of help you. Let me share with you how I'm seeing this. If you got a pen or a piece of paper nearby, notebook, I want you to write it like this. R-E, then put a stop there and underline it. Then write joy, J-O-Y, and then skip a line or so, and then write seeing. So you should have re and joy in seeing. When we see God clearly and progressively, and we see who God is and what he has done, it should give us cause to rejoice. See, every time I see God, every day when I see God clearly or progressively, I see different aspects of God in his character, in his goodness, in his greatness, in his holiness. Every day I learn something new about God, or I see something clearly that I knew about him before. Every time that happens, I get joy again. So I get rejoy because of what I see in him differently in this day. I remember that passage in Genesis 2 and 7 said, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul. He breathed into man and man became a living soul or a living being, some texts would say. And the concept, I learned it from, it was a guy while I was studying, we call Cody Wilson. He says that before we can exhale, we have to inhale. Before you can exhale, you have to inhale. When we inhale, my brothers and sisters, the goodness of God and all that God is and all that God has done, the only thing that you can possibly exhale is worship. Yes, when you see God's heart, his love for us, his faithfulness, how he forgives us, his amazing grace, his mercy, he's all powerful, he's all knowing, he's all wise. He's ever present everywhere. He's unchanging and kind. He's rescued us from the penalty of sin, spending our eternity apart from God. He's rescued us. He's rescuing us from the power of sin. In our daily life, we continue to come more and more Christ-like. And one of these days when he returns, he will rescue us from the presence of sin. He's holy, and in all ways, he's praiseworthy. When we inhale who God is and what God has done, the only thing you can do in response is worship him. Is rejoice, because rejoicing in the Lord always is to rejoice. But wait a minute, is it rejoice because of what I rejoice, I get joy again, or joy, more joy because of what I see. Now, what is joy though? Joy is not happiness. Happiness and joy is two separate things. Joy is a deep down confidence that God is in control of everything for the believer's good and God's glory. God is in control of everything for the believer's good and God's glory. So when that's true, see, the opposite of joy is not sadness, because you can have both joy and sadness at the same time. You can be in a situation that makes you sad, that maybe frustrates you, or some other negative emotion. Maybe a loved one is sick or has passed on. And those are real emotions. Those are real feelings. But deep down, you have confidence, yet that God is in control, in control of everything for the believer's good and God's glory. So you still have joy even in the midst of your sorrow. That's what it means. That's why Paul said, rejoice always. Here, I'm in prison. I don't have my freedom. But yet, even in this situation, I know God is in control. And I know he's working it for my good and for his glory. I've seen it. Because in the first couple chapters, he talks about, amen, how that him being in that place and being chained to the Roman guard and having opportunities, amen, not only... He thought he was in prison. They thought he had him chained. But actually, the guard that was chained, to him, had to listen to the gospel, how good God was, and how the gospel was spreading because of his imprisonment. So God can use anything for our good and his glory. Well, when you get that joy, it's deep down. It's deep down. You can go through. You know, sometimes you're hurting, but you can still have joy in the midst of your hurting. Oh, God is that kind of, and joy can kind of take over. But we have to inhale who God is and what he's done. Just take every day. You need it. That's why you need to be in the Word of God. That's one of the main parts about having personal devotions, or attending a corporate worship, or listening to gospel and Christian singing and songs and hymns and so forth, because they all tell us about some aspect of God's goodness and greatness and how great he is. And as we take that in, we can break out in worship. And oh, and ain't nothing like when we all get together and worship God. And you want to, and another thing about it, the deeper you inhale, the louder you'll exhale. Oh, when you get to know God deeply, when you get to go, when you've been with God so long that, amen, you know his character so well, you know how he works, you've connected the dots, and you've seen how he's been working in your life and been working it out. And when you take all that in, that deepness, then you will come out with a loud rejoicing. You can't rejoice loudly when you ain't been deep with God. God is a great God. And if you know he's done something for you, you ought to rejoice loudly. Now, I want to tell you now, worship is more than a song or a service. It's seeing the supremacy of God, or the supremacy of Christ in all things. You see, he is the supreme. He is as good as it gets. He is Lord and sovereign and over everything. And therefore, you worship him on a daily basis. Worship is something we do every second or every day. You don't have to tell people how to worship. People already know how to worship. Amen. You see a great football fan, you don't have to tell a great football fan how to worship, because they get up on that Sunday morning or Thursday night or whenever the game is. Amen. And they pay big amounts of cash, and they go out in the snow and in the rain and in storms. They stand in long lines. They play crazy rates for parking. They eat out there. When their team does well, they shout so loud that people for blocks around can hear. You don't have to tell nobody how to worship. We're not trying to tell anybody how to worship, because we are born knowing how to worship. We just got to let people know what they ought to worship. Amen. They ought to worship. The one that's worthy of worship is our God, Father, Son, in Holy Spirit. That's the one. That's the one we worship. Amen. We know how to worship. You go see something, maybe you out shopping for a home, and you walk in a house and see how beautiful that house is and how it's furnished, or all the things that you like about how the kitchen is, or how everything is set up. You look at the outside and the back, and if it's really, really beautiful to you, you'll go out and you'll praise that house. Oh, we saw this house today, and the kitchen was so great, and the cabinets were so great, and the room was just like, and it had a great yard. You praise that house because we know how to worship. When we inhale something that's beautiful and great, we'll praise it. But I'm saying our ultimate praise should go to God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then it said, just because, and Paul said, if you didn't hear me the first time, he says it again. I say again, rejoice. Wow. And that's all through. That's, and not the first time he said that in the book of Philippians. That's all through the book of Philippians. They're rejoicing and praise. The deeper you inhale, the louder you'll exhale. Because when you inhale in incredible God, you know that that God deserves an incredible praise. Oh, he is a God that is worthy. So the first thing, if you want to worship the exhale, is when we see all that God is, who he is, and what he's done. When we inhale that, we exhale in praise and worship and rejoicing. Not just on Sunday morning, or not just in worship time, but throughout our days. We live in a way that shows those around us how the value, because to worship means to ascribe that something is worth something to you. And you know, like I said, when you using that example again, return to that football fan example. Well, you know, when somebody get up early in the morning and go out in the rain, sleet, snow, pay large amounts of money to park and get in a crowd, holler out real loud for your team, paint their faces sometime, put on all kind of costumes. You know the worth, how valuable their team is to them. So the way we live, brothers and sisters, should show people how valuable our team is to us. That's why in that next verse, I'm just going to touch on the next verse. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. It said, let your gentleness be known. In other words, sometimes you respond when people treat you mean and are mean to you and do underhanded things to you. It said, don't come back at them in a rough way. Give them mercy and grace and try to reflect Christ. Because why? It's not because maybe they don't deserve for you to come back strong, but it's because of what Christ, God's value to you. Because God is valuable to me, I'm going to extend to you mercy and gentleness, because I want you to see him in my life, and he wants me to be like him. So I'm going to be patient with you. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to pray for my enemies. And I'm going to treat people right, even when they don't treat me right. Why? Because that's how valuable he is to me. I'm going to be a good worker when I go to my job, because that's how valuable he is to me. I'm going to treat my family right, because that's how valuable he is to me. He's so valuable to me that I have to order every aspect of my life in an obedient way to him. God is truly awesome. But we don't want to stop there. Not only do we rejoice in praise, but secondly, we worship to exhale by requesting in prayer. Look at what Paul says in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Did y'all get that? Now, how many things, listen to me, be anxious for nothing. Anxious means something same like worry. They're very akin, close to kin to each other. Almost the same thing, if not exactly the same thing. Be anxious for nothing. So Paul's saying, and Paul is saying, I want to ask you a question. How many things should we be worried about? How many things should we be anxious about? It says nothing. There ought not be anything that we're anxious or worried about. The reason why we sometimes get anxious or worried about something, and I've shared this with you before, me being trying to control everything in my environment because of some traumatic experiences in my past, trying to make my present and my future better by controlling everything in my environment. And when I do that, you know what I'm trying to be? I'm trying to be God. I'm a pretty good Tim, but I'm a terrible God. I'm a terrible God. I'm glad I'm not the God of my life, because my life be all messed up. I'm glad I turned my life over to him one day. I make a terrible God. You, if you're trying to do it, you make a terrible God. Most of the time, when we are trying to be our own God and things are out of our control, we become anxious. We worry because something is happening that we can't control. But Paul is saying now, and this is the command, this is an imperative to do, be anxious for nothing. But in contrast to that, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. So don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Did y'all get that? Let me say it one more time. Don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Take it in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Look at here. Look here. Let me put this in. Because sometimes we miss this. Sometimes we think about requests. We like that part about the request. But now, notice that request, not demands. Don't be so entitled that you begin to demand things from God. We are not entitled to the point that we can demand God do something. It says you just put in your request and then you let God respond to your request. But now look, wait a minute. A lot of times, I can request. I say, don't be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, in supplication, and then I can make my request known. Oh, yeah. But we stop there. But wait a minute. That's not where it stopped. It said, request with thanksgiving. Did y'all see that part about the thanksgiving? Because that's an important part. That's an important part. He said, let your request, and what you praying, something you need from God. You request it, and then you give thanks for it. But wait a minute. You pray, you request something, and then you give thanks for it. But wait a minute. You haven't got it yet. He said, hey, wait a minute. Let me read that again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So when you pray and ask him something from God, you do it with thanksgiving, letting your request be known. This is an important part, brothers and sisters. This is an important part. You haven't got the answer. You haven't got God's response yet, but you're giving thanksgiving in advance. Now, this shows your trust in God. Because you're basically saying, God, this is my request. But however you answer it, oh my. I'm gonna put in my request. But I believe in you so strongly. However you decide to respond to it, I'm gonna thank you. Now he may respond to it in a way that you didn't want him to run to. You might have wanted him to say yes, and he said no. You might have wanted him to say now, and he said wait. His response may even be emotionally painful to you. But you believe in God's goodness so much, you believe like that old show that used to come on way back probably most of y'all time called Father Knows Best. You believe that Father knows best to the point that you're saying, God, I'm making my request, but however you respond to my request, I believe so strongly in you, I'll accept how you And I thank you for responding to my request, because you God. So that's why you can thank him in advance, because it shows you trust his character and who he is and the kind of being he is. You say, if I want now, but you request later, wait. Thank you. You know more than me. If I want yes right here, you say no, thank you. You know more than me. My understanding is limited. My vision is limited. You know everything. You are everywhere. You got all power. You're sovereign. You're eternity. There's never been a time that you did not exist. There never will be a time that you will not exist. You created the whole world and everything in it. It's all yours. You sustain it and keep it going on. So whatever you think, Father, is best, I'm going to thank you for it. Because in my limitation, the way I think, I can't even compare to what you think. Thank parents when their child, you may have had a small child who maybe 3 or 4, and that child wanted to do something that was dangerous. And just because they asked you, and it was dangerous, you said no. Now, the child didn't realize what they wanted to do was beyond their age. Children their age, it would be dangerous for someone their age and their maturity. Maybe they wanted to go out and play kickball in the street. But you said since you got some years, and as a parent, you said, no, that's not a safe thing to do, because cars come through here going fast. And they may get angry and throw a temper tantrum, but you know what's best. And sometimes same way it is with God. God will say no, or God will say wait, or God will say not now, or God will do something. And we'll throw a temper tantrum, get mad, because we don't see it like God sees it. God sees it from a different perspective than we see it. So because we know God and trust him, and if you inhale the goodness of God, his love, kindness, his mercy, and know who he is, and you've seen him active in your life, when you've inhaled his goodness, you can still, even when he says no, you say, I praise you when you say no. I praise you when you say wait. I praise you in every situation, because you are God and Father knows best. So you give your request and your thanksgiving all together in one, even before your request happened, because you got, you've been with God and you've experienced God and you've inhaled God so long that you know, hey, sometimes I don't know what's best. Sometimes what I do, if it's my way, I don't know what's best. Sometimes the way I want it would just be a mess. But I'm going to put it in God's hand, because God knows what's best. The Bible says in prayer, cast, 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on him, because he cares for you. It is, and then in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Yeah, that's what, when you pray, you're transferring that burden from you trying to carry it on your own, something that's too heavy, and you were never meant to carry it, and you put it on a God that had broad enough shoulders to carry the load for you. Let him have the whole load. Don't be like that man that was walking down the street and had a big bag and a burden, and a man in a pickup saw he was struggling with it and about to pass out with the big burden and the big bag that he had, and pulled over and told him he can just get and ride in the back of the pickup truck. But even when the man was riding in the back of the pickup truck, he was still holding the burden. Don't be like that. Put your burden down. Put your weight on the Lord. He's a great God. Put your burdens in God's hand. Transfer that burden to him. Inhale God's goodness. When you inhale how all that God is and all that is done, you say, hey, God, I hear you saying for me not to be anxious, so I'm giving this to you. Now, listen, maybe there's some things that's giving you anxiety today, things that you're worried about. This is what I want you to do, because sometimes you have to do these things to help you through. Whatever the thing that's giving you anxiety, whatever the thing that's worrying you or bothering you, write it down on a list. List it down. List it. That's if it's really, because the only thing, a lot of times, things that are out of control, things that are out of control are in control of you. It's a bad thing for something that's out of control to be in control of you. So you make out that list. And then as you go down, whatever you lift, 5, 6, 10 items, by every item, I want you right beside it, God's. Because it's not going to be yours no more. It's going to be God's. God's. That's God. You can have it. All right. God's. Not mine no more. God. You go down that list and keep writing for everything that you're concerned and worry about. God's. 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 Take it out of your hand. Put it in his hands. Let God worry about it. Let him, because he never sleeps or stumbles anyway. Let him stay up worried about it all night. And you go home and get a rest. Put it in God's hands. Put it in God's hands. Be anxious for nothing. You know, I look at this thing, and you know what Paul is really giving us? Paul is giving us a pathway from panic to peace. Oh, I wish I had it. Because you panicking about it. The enemy will have you panic. The enemy will have that thing in control of you. See, that's how it's all right to be concerned and take responsible behavior in certain situations. But when that thing has you, when you can't sleep, when you can't eat, when it's the constant concern of your whole life throughout the day, God does not want that. You need to make it on, put it on that list and say, God, this is yours now. Or just go down and pray and say, God, I can't handle this thing. It's too much for me to control. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. And put it God. So next time, and the enemy gonna bring it up again. It's going to cross your thought path again. But every time the enemy brings it, you say, God's. Enemy is God's, not mine. God's. Tell the enemy that. Sometimes you got to talk to him out loud. Say, that's God, it's not mine. I let God have that yesterday. I get God had that right after the message yesterday. That's all in God's hands now. Don't bring that up to me. Put it in God's hands. So secondly, we worship by exhaling. We worship in exhaling by requesting in prayer. Lastly, we worship by resting in his peace. Peace means we have confidence in God's wise and love and control. You have confidence in God's wise and loving control of your life. You say, God is all wise and he's all loving, and I got confidence in him. So when I give it to him, I gave a burden to him, I cast my cares upon him. It's God's now. I can have peace. I can have peace. Reason why I know I can have peace, because I inhaled all that God is and all that God has done. And I've already thanked him as I put in my request, and it's in God's hand now. So I can have peace because he's a God of peace. See, once you have peace with God, you can enjoy the peace of God. That's the kind of peace he gives you. God gives you his peace. And you know, God always had peace. God didn't get up yesterday thinking about, oh man, I'm having a really rough time. with this COVID thing, don't know what's going to happen. No, God, it didn't catch God by surprise. Nothing catch God by surprise. God, I didn't expect that. That'll never come out of the mouth of God. God knows everything. He knows what to do. He knows the end of it going to be. God does not have to make models that may or may not be true. God is in control, and he's wise, and he's all wise and all loving. It never catches him by surprise. So nothing, God ain't never been anxious about nothing. Oh, I'm really worried about that. Mm-mm. God ain't never worried about anything. And God said, if you put it in my hands, I'll give you that same kind of peace, that confidence with whatever you're going through. You can have peace because you got, because I'm working it out. You know I love you. And you know how wise I am. You know I know everything, got all power. I'm everywhere. I'm sovereign. Not even the smallest the smallest subatomic particle is in my control. I got it all under control. So you don't have to worry about it. What a mighty God. Now he says, when you get that peace in your heart, it's like a God. It's like a God sitting out of your heart. He said, anytime something that come to cause worry in your heart, he said, uh-uh. He said, no. Because I told you last week, last Sunday about the heart attack, I'm trying to tell you, the enemy is always attacking the heart. But this says, when you have a peace of God, it'll stand as a guard to your heart and mind. It's just like that shield of faith that we talked about last week. The devil's going to do anything to try to get the heart, because once he gets the heart, he has you. But peace. So when the devil makes him crazy, come trying to remind you of something crazy or bother you about something or make you worry, anxious about something. You say, well, no, I get that to God. I got his peace now because I know he's going to take care of me. I know God going to take care of me. And I'm going on, go to bed. He's going to take care of it. Even if God forbid that, hey, this you get touched by this pandemic that's going around, it's all right. It's all right. I don't care what they say. I'm still trust God. I'm still trust God. Anything that happens, because God is He's a great God and worthy to be praised. And if He decides it's my time to go with my last breath, I'm gonna give Him praise, because He's a God that's worthy to be praised. And I know I'm headed because I'm in His hand. The worst thing, the enemy threatened me with this, but he don't realize. You threaten me with being in God's presence. You threaten me with heaven and joy beyond any imagination. That's why we as believers have the joy that surpasses all understanding. It's incomprehensible joy. You can't comprehend it. It's incomprehensible. Incomprehensible. I can't get it. I can't get it. Incomprehensible. I can't quite get it. Oh. But he's a great God. So I already made up my mind. I ain't used to worry about it. I'm just going to stay with the Lord. Been with him too long now. So when you inhale God's goodness, how good God is, what God has done, who he is, you exhale praise. In another way, say that you exhale that exalts God, that lifts him up, that gives him glory. God deserves the glory that we give him. He's a mighty, mighty, mighty God. So I just want to tell, if you hear you came in late, like that movie, with those African-American women in it. Don't be just waiting to exhale. If you find the Christ, the Jesus, our Lord, establish a relationship with him and you can worship and you can exhale, because now as you inhale, how good, how wonderful, how great our God, how amazing in his amazing grace, you can exhale and say, I thank God got it. Now I can experience that amazing peace that he has in me. Now I can finally have that sense of satisfaction on the skin and just total well-being. It's going to be all right. Somebody said, I got a feeling everything is going to be all right. Thank you so much. We make terrible God, but if we put our trust in him, I hope you'll make your list today. I hope you'll make your list and say, hey, God got it now. God, I made my list. I was concerned about this. I'll just pray. God, I'm really concerned about this here. I don't want my family members to just name them. They're in your hand. That you love them just like I do. God, if this is just some of the things that you've been worried about, lady, just put it in his hand. Just let it go. Hey, go ahead and get you some rest and live your life to his glory. He's a mighty good God. All right. Thank you, God. Thank y'all for so much for listening. Now, what we're going to do right now is move from our message to our, I hope you understand, we'll talk, we may get a chance to talk about it, but we want to take a couple of moments here to do our Lord's Supper, our Lord's table. And we'll drink grape juice and use crackers and whatever the closest thing you got to it. Amen. Whatever the closest thing you got to celebrate this. Hopefully you got it around. I said last time, if you have a older male in the house, let them serve. We're trying to teach our older males. If just the dad is there, it's good. If the father of the house is there, if not, that oldest son can do, because we're trying to teach them how to lead and not follow. Amen. So let them be part of serving the Lord's table. If not, amen, parents can do that. And let them be a part of serving the Lord's table. This is the time we remember how Christ gave his life for us on Calvary's cross. He didn't have to do, but he loved us so much. That's part of that. And when we inhale, this is our time to inhale that, how much suffering he went to it. And out of fact that he was willing to come from heaven down, from the comfort of heaven to the crucifixion on the cross, how much we mean to him. Oh, God is so good. He was willing to do that because he thought we were worth saving. So now's the time we remember that. God, you've been so good. You came from the comfort and glory of heaven to the crucifixion on a gory cross. That's so amazing. That's so amazing to us. You were willing to suffer for us. You were willing to sacrifice for us, but you did it. So God, we thank you so much for what you've done. Now we have these elements before us, God. And we know that they're just here to help us remember you. Now we want to ask our members, wherever you are, to take a moment right here before we finish praying and taking the element, to go before God, because he asked us to examine ourselves. When you examine yourself, you won't find perfection. You'll find some struggles that you may have failed or some areas that you need to work on. So confess those areas to him. Accept the forgiveness of the cross and ask him for power to overcome those things and to be in his will and be righteous in the next months or years or in the future. You can take a couple of moments silent and do that now. Amen. Now, remembering what our Lord has done on Calvary, you may now take the cracker or the bread or whatever you have as that substitute that represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then also in the cup, you have the fruit of the vine, whatever you have that close, the representative of that this morning. You may now, and if you have a whole cracker, just eat part of it so you won't have to be alone. Just take a bite of it, and that way you won't have to chew a long time. So we want to take, eat, and then we'll take and drink that represents his blood, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood of our Lord that was spilled for us and for the remission of our sin. You may now take, eat, and then drink. Amen. Usually when we are gathered, somebody was saying, I know it was the blood for me. And even though we are not gathered physically, I still want to say that, hey, I know it was the blood for me. Not how good I was, not that I deserve it, not any of my achievements or my effort, but it was the blood of Christ on the cross, spilled for my sin, that allowed me to have this relationship with my Savior and our Lord. So I thank God for what he's done. He's a great God and one worthy to be praised. I mean, now we're got a little bit more time on the broadcast. We want to give an opportunity if anyone would like to chime in with comments at this time. We see your comments online on the board. If you'd like to actually call in, you can do that too. We'll give you a few minutes for anybody that desires to do that. Amen. As we begin, prepare to close out our broadcast for the day. Thank you so much, all of you that chimed in. Now, I just want to kind of throw this is not a definite thing. It's something we're still praying about, and we're still looking so we can be responsible in our decision making. And that is, we're probably now, it looks like, so just in case you're thinking about that and wondering, so you won't have to call anybody, but it'll probably be around July. We're hoping it may be in July, sometime between the first and the third Sundays, we might be able to return to our physical meetings, so that we'll be praying about that and try to make the most responsible decision. Even though we put things in God's hand, that doesn't mean we can be irresponsible. We don't want to stop wearing seatbelts and say, well, I'm just going to trust in God and put it in his hand. No, the reason why he may be trying to save you by you being responsible and putting on the seatbelt. So we want to do the same thing in time of this pandemic. We want to try to be responsible and wise and then trust God also. So we encourage you to do that. All right. So just thank you and pray about that and try to keep yourself safe and think about the more vulnerable citizens that are with us. All right, now Sister Calvin, who is over our mobile food pantry in the city of Mahara, where the Bethsaida Church is informing us that the mobile pantry for May has been canceled in Mahara. So all of you that are volunteer at that activity, keep that in mind, that our mobile pantry for May has been canceled. And of course, you probably already know, because just the way things are going, that the nursing home ministry, because the nursing homes are closed down right now, are still canceled till further notice. Okay. Do you want to share?
All right. Hello, church family. Before we close out, just want to thank you all for all the prayers for last week.
doing the burial services for my dad. Thank you all for the texts and the calls that we received on last week. So just wanted to say thank you for that love. Absolutely love this family that God has allowed us to be a part of. So just want to say thank you for that. You do not know how much strength that gave us and how much joy that gave us and how it did. The peace did guard our hearts during last week. And God gave us good weather, so we were able to have a good graveside service for my dad. And it was just a challenge of trying to put a service together right in the middle of COVID-19. But we praise God for that. The family was all there and all on one accord. And so God gave us a great week. So we thank you for being with us during that time. Thanks. Love you guys.
Amen. And I ditto that same sentiment. Thank you so much for all your support. And let us continue just to be in prayer for one another. Okay, Sister Carter has also added that there will be a mobile food pantry in Groesbeck, and the details are forthcoming. So y'all have a great Lord's Day, the rest of your Lord's Day. We usually have a fellowship meal at this time, but since we are not, we don't have a fellowship meal today, so no chicken and other things that we have fellowship meal, but one of these days, maybe we'll get back to it. But we just praise the Lord that we can at least fellowship through the podcast. And I want to thank Sister Curving and all those others who are involved in the that shared call that you have on Thursday night. So keep that up too. Keep up the good work. And let's keep moving forward. We don't want to be on pause. We want to be on purpose. So thank God. But he's still aligned what he does. Y'all have a great day. And we'll see you next Sunday.
But the gym just opened again. I said, message. And she said she was, but the gym just opened again.